Now, a new topic. I want to discuss now, maybe we'll take maybe a little bit of time. We'll start today. We have half an hour. Let's discuss the topic of Tekiya Shofar. A lot of very beautiful, many, many halachas, many interesting inyanim. This year, obviously, is going to be very, very different for two reasons. Number one, it's Shabbos. The first day of Rosh Hashanah is Shabbos. So there is no blowing of the shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. And the second day of Rosh Hashanah, because we're experiencing something that we never had before, in many shuls, it will be a very different experience, the blowing of the shofar. I wanted to just tell you one thought that would just really strike, what really comes to mind is, you know, this year, you know, we could appreciate whatever you do on Rosh Hashanah, because many people, including many Rabbanim, are fighting with us that we should not have a regular davening. And if you just how sad it is, last year, only 1 year ago, we're in shul, and the davening many shuls is longer than most people would like. Long davenings, every shul, the number one complaint is it's too long. It's too long, whether you're in yeshiva, it's too long, whether you're in a shul, it's too long. The rabbi gives a drasha, and this takes time, and that takes time, and there's a break, and everyone has to be satisfied. And before you blink, the davening is a very long shlepta davening. And we complain, and it's very sad, because this year, all of those embellishments, you can't do. You can't do even if you want to do it. There's just too many complications in many shuls to do most of the embellishments. And even in the shuls where they are going to be doing all of the embellishments with all the bells and whistles, many people will be feeling guilty. Maybe we shouldn't be doing it. We're putting people in danger. Maybe it's not the right thing. So it's a chaval that you only appreciate something when it's taken away from you. Last year, in all the years, all these last number of years, there was no holding back. There's no guilt in staying in shul another hour, another 2 hours. Were you going? What? I'm sorry?
Oh, I didn't know. I'm okay. Over. I was saying that the shuls should learn, it's okay that we have a nice proper davening, but all the wasted time is not proper. And they push a lot of people away because of that. So maybe with this swinging it the other way, maybe people, the
I hear what you're saying.
Begin to understand.
I hear what you're saying, but a lot, I don't think, you have to be down the kavschus. Many shuls, no one's trying to waste time. That's just how it is. That's how life is. When you're dealing with a lot of people, that's just the way it goes. You know, people, businesses who try to optimize, they try to optimize on every penny and to cut out every second that they, every dollar that they waste on this mishkas, that mishkas, when they cut out all the garbage, you know what they're left with? Nothing. Because sometimes in order to succeed, you need to waste a little bit. We have some, when you waste money on narishkeit, sometimes it enhances the experience and you are that much more productive. It's an investment. In a very large shul, with a lot of people, that's what happens. Time is wasted. People have to settle down, you have to have a break, you have to do this, the rabbi has to speak, and this and that. That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. You can't optimize every little thing in this world. And it's said that this year, even if all of the embellishments that we took for granted are taken away. And even if they're not going to be taken away, it's not going to be the same. There's going to be guilt, no matter where you're going to daven. It's going to be different. There's no minion in the whole world. It's going to be the same. Even in places, even in Borough Park and Lakewood, where you hear that they don't follow any restrictions. It's not true, you should know. It's not true. I went to a Lakewood wedding where I was told in advance there are zero restrictions. Not the same. A far cry from normalcy. Far cry. And even the shuls that are here in Flatbush that you walk in during the week, there are no restrictions. You know, on Shabbos, a lot of them have very, very tough restrictions because the people during the week, people are not coming, so no one's coming. So who's coming? A bunch of kids. Do whatever you want. Shabbos, you have Zakenim. I know one shul over here during the week, they do zero. No restrictions. You would think, who knows what? Shabbos, you walk in there Shabbos. You're not even allowed to walk near the shul without a mask because on Shabbos, there are people who come. It's the only time they come to shul, the elderly people. And the whole shul has to accommodate them, whether you like it or not. So in Borough Park, don't tell me that in Borough Park in Lakewood, it's business as usual. It's not business as usual. Even in the yeshivas, the amount of money they're spending on plexiglass and cleaning equipment and this and that and changing the schedules and this and this. Does it make a difference, all of these things? Who knows? Halavai they do. But nothing's the same anymore. And it's sad, because last year when we would complain, oh, this and this and this and this. Chaval, don't take anything for granted. It says in Tosfos that to blow 100 koilos is mitzvah min ha-muvchar. If I'm not mistaken, those are the words of Tosfos. 100 koilos on Rosh Hashanah, mitzvah min ha-muvchar. You only mechuyev midaraisa to blow 9 sounds. Tekiah, teruah, tekiah. Tekiah, teruah, tekiah. Tekiah, teruah, tekiah. That's it. That's all you have to blow. From those 9, what do we end up doing? So now we do 10. Tekiah. That turns into 30. It turns into 30. And from the 30, it turns into 60. And then from the 60, we have an additional minug to blow 100 koilos. To zecher for Aim Sisera, the mother of Sisera, when she heard that her son did not come back from battle, she cried, Vatiyabeb Aim Sisera. Why would we care what a non-Jewish woman does about her wicked son? So some say it's not really referring to the mother of Sisera, it's really referring to the mother of Sarah Imenu. Sarah Imenu, when she heard that Yitzchak was taken to the Akedah and he almost died, she cried 100 times. And those 100 koilos is what we are recalling, and we're only using the mother of Sisera as a reference point to appreciate what it means, the cry of a mother. Whatever it is, the bottom line is we blow on Rosh Hashanah 100 koilos. Everyone has been doing this their whole lives. And Tosfos says, you should do it, because this is mitzvah min hamufchar, the best way to do the mitzvah. And yet it's sad that many shuls this year are not blowing 100 koilos. They've made a decision, they're not going to blow. They're going to blow 60 koilos at most. They'll blow the 30 koilos before Musaf, and they'll blow during Chazaras Hashatz. Many shuls have decided we're not going to blow because it's dangerous. It's number one, it takes time. We don't want people to linger in shul. Number two, we don't know the fumes, whatever, the Baltakea is going to blow, whatever. We don't want to, whatever it is. That's very sad. So last year when we were sitting in shul and we were another tekiah, another tekiah, another tekiah, go home already, schlep out the davening. Yeah, it's a burden to you. Was it really a burden? Well, this year won't be a burden to you. You won't be able to do it even if you want to do it. Hashem is giving us Musar. He's giving us Musar. Don't view religious observance as a burden. Because Rachman al-Itzlan, it could happen when you won't even be, who could imagine such a thing? That you're suspect. Believe me, there are going to be many shuls that are going to blow 100 koilos. I have no doubt in my mind. They'll blow the 100 koilos. But there's going to be guilt. It's not going to be mitzvah min ha-muvchar. And that's very, very sad. That's not the way it was supposed to be. That thought came to my mind as I was preparing these halachas, because the halachas are so vast, so numerous, and comes to mind all the memories of all the past years. Every year is another story. There's always a story behind what's going on behind the scenes in shul, this, and all these things come to mind. And it's sad that this year, it's a whole different attitude, a whole different world. Okay, so let's start with some of the basic halachas. From my notes, let me get to my notes. One second, I don't want to leave anything out. Okay, here we go. First thing we have to know, let's discuss the laws. We'll start with eating before tekiyos. Now, let's discuss this here. Are you allowed to eat before you blow shofar? Nowhere. It's important to know this. It's very important to know what it says in Shulchan Aruch, and it's very important to know what it does not say in Shulchan Aruch. It's also part of knowing Shulchan Aruch, to know what it doesn't say. It doesn't say anywhere in the entire Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to eat before you blow shofar. It says in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to eat before you daven. That it does say. So the Shulchan Aruch talks about eating before davening, and that's forbidden. You're not allowed to eat before you daven. And it talks about not being allowed to eat before you do various mitzvahs. There are certain mitzvahs. I don't have everything for you over here, but it's discussed. You're not allowed to eat before davening for sure. And certain mitzvahs it also makes mention. There is absolutely no mention anywhere in the Dal Lechelke Shulchan Aruch mention that you're not allowed to eat before you blow a shofar. Where is all of the halachas about not eating before you blow shofar are derived in the poskim, in the modern day poskim, from the laws of not eating before you mekayim the mitzvah of dalid minim. When you take a lulav, you take a shofar and esrog, and you shake the lulav and the esrog, are you allowed to eat before you do the mitzvah? That is where the halachas are discussed. And the question is, do we compare blowing shofar to the laws of taking a lulav and an esrog? The law is, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to eat before you take the lulav and the esrog. You're supposed to first do the mitzvah, and then you eat. However, that's only when you're being mekayim the mitzvah as an individual at home. You're at home, you're davening at home, and what's going to happen if you're going to sit down and have your su'udas yomtiv, and you're not yet mekayim the mitzvah of taking dalad minim, you're going to forget. You're going to eat the meal, you're going to fall asleep, you're going to wake up, you're going to run to mincha, you're going to forget, and before you turn around, guess what? You forgot to take lulav and esrog. So therefore it says in Shulchan Aruch, don't do that. Before you eat, take the lulav and the esrog and shake it, be mekayim the mitzvah. What about shofar? Is shofar the same thing? Not the same. Because shofar, you're in shul. And you're doing, and most people are going to shul, going to shul as a tzibur. And it's as if someone is there to remind you. The fact that we all daven together, we're all basically, it's part of the service of davening. So if you're going to take a break before the blowing of the shofar to eat or to go out, and so that does not fall under the category of taking the lulav and the esrog, eating before taking lulav and esrog. Because by lulav and esrog, the law is that if you ask somebody to remind you, you appoint a shliach, please, it is your job, after I eat my meal, for you to remind me to take in my hand the lulav and esrog and shake it, you're allowed to eat before you shake the lulav and the esrog. Thus, if you're going to shul, and then they're up to asher, they're up to blowing the shofar, and the gabbai makes an announcement, we're now going to take a break for 10 minutes, anyone who wants to make kiddush, go outside or whatever, don't observe the laws of social distancing when you make kiddush, wherever you make your kiddush and eat, go, and then come back in 10 minutes so we can continue davening. You're not going to forget to come back. That's the reason why you went to shul today. So it would be perfectly permitted to come back and to eat, to come back and blow shofar. And you need not worry. So that is why me'ikar hadin, it is permitted to eat. According to the letter of the law, it is permitted without any question whatsoever to eat before you blow the shofar. Number one, it doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch anywhere that you're not. It's not called davening. Shofar, it's a mitzvah to blow the shofar. I know Alpi Kabbalah, everyone will say, but blowing the shofar is the purest form of prayer, and you're not allowed to daven, not allowed to eat before you daven. We'll get to that in a few moments. You have to understand the halacha does not follow Kabbalah. Halacha follows halacha. blowing of the shofar in the world of halach, in the world of the nigla, the revealed portions of the Torah, is no different than shaking a lulavan and an esrog. In the world of halach, in the world of nigla, the open revealed world, blowing shofar is like a lulavan and an esrog. It's not in the category of prayer. And when it comes to doing a physical mitzvah, you're permitted to eat before you do the mitzvah, as long as you are guaranteed that you're not going to forget. The system, the structure that we have set up for ourselves in shuls of davening, taking a break, and then blowing shofar and davening musaf, is in the category of not forgetting to blow shofar. And therefore, you're permitted l'chatchila to eat before you do the mitzvah of blowing shofar, especially when you need koyach to be able to get through the day. That's the ikar hadin. Now, of course, you can be machmir, and you can find a lot of reasons, al pi kabbalah, that it's the yom hadin, and the blowing of the shofar is in the higher worlds, is earth-shattering, it's kodesh kodashim, and which it is, or the muna shalema that it is, and therefore there are many holy people who it is not in their imagination to ever dare eat before blowing of the shofar. Tovay aleihem bracha, and there are probably people over here that do that as well, maybe because it's practical. If you daven early, it's not necessary to eat. You just go straight, and it's not necessary, and you gain the advantage of not eating before you blow the shofar, which certainly will be very fulfilling and satisfying for the more spiritual elements of the Torah. And that's wonderful. And that's advice for those people that can do it. But in halacha, it is permitted. That's what comes out. It's very important to make that divide between halacha and kabbalah. And 99% of the time, halacha wins over Torah Hanigle, wins over Torah Hanistar. There are exceptions when Nistar wins, but they're very rare. But generally, it prevails and you're allowed to eat. And this year, something very interesting this year, let's discuss the people who do not eat. Let's look at the category of the population of Jewish Orthodoxy who does not eat before the blowing of the shofar, no matter what, because they're very holy. That's how they are. They are very sensitive to the sacred nature of the blowing of the shofar. It should be done immediately. There should be no deviation, no disruption, no distraction of food before the blowing of the shofar. But what about when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos and you're not blowing the shofar and you're only mentioning the shofar in the tefillah, zichron truah? Do the same stringencies apply? Question. These individuals who wouldn't even think to eat before blowing of the shofar, will they eat this year on the first day Rosh Hashanah when there is no blowing shofar, but they're mentioning the blowing of the shofar in the tefillah? So what I've seen in the Nitei Gavriel, he doesn't elaborate very much, but he basically says that you can be lenient. Definitely be lenient. If you're davening in a place where you're davening a very long davening, and you're tired, you get tired, you're only a human being, and ordinarily you don't eat, that's your custom. Your father never ate, your grandfather never ate, so you're not going to go rock the boat, you're not going to eat before the blowing of the shofar. But on Shabbos, when you're not blowing shofar, eat. You're allowed to eat. Once you daven shachris, and you've heard kriyas ha-Torah, l'chol adeyas, you're allowed to make kiddush and eat. You're done. You're allowed to make kiddush and eat. You've davened shachris. You kriyas ha-Torah. Shachris is now over. Musaf. There's no halacha that you're not allowed to eat before davening musaf. You're allowed to eat before musaf. If you're going to daven a long musaf and you're tired and you need koyach, eat. Just because you don't eat it when you blow shofar is not a reason why you should not eat this year on the first day Shabbos in that situation. Now, I understand.
Kiddush?
What?
Kiddush? Make kiddush?
Yes, you must make kiddush. You must make Kiddush when you're not blowing shofar. I'm going to come to your question about making Kiddush in a moment, but in this year on Shabbos, when you will not be blowing shofar, so Shachris is over, totally over. David, there's a big dilemma. When does Shachris end? Does Shachris end with the Shemona Esrei, or does Shachris end with Kriyas HaTorah? Maybe you even need to say Ashrei. The Ashrei before Musaf may also be part of Shachris. But one thing is for sure, once you get to the Ashrei, after you say the Ashrei, before they say the Kaddish, when the rabbi gets up to say the drasha, before they say Yiskadal v'Yiskadash, Shacharis is over. And if it's over, you're allowed to, you have an obligation to make Kiddush, and you're not allowed to eat until you make Kiddush. And so therefore, you can be lenient. Now, I do understand that maybe people that are super duper holy, and I mean that very seriously, who view even the mention of Zichroin Teruah in the Shemona Esrei of Musaf, it frightens them so much. It's as if they're blowing the shofar. I get it. I fully get it. For those people, maybe they don't want to eat either. Same way they're not going to eat before they actually blow the shofar. They're not going to eat on Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah, before Musaf. Because even mentioning the blowing of the shofar is like the shofar itself. And we have to remember that in the Beis HaMikdash, they did blow shofar on Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah. So if you want to connect yourself to the Beis HaMikdash, where they are indeed blowing the shofar, then you feel that the shofar is something that you should be done before eating, then in a chanami, you should not be eating even before you daven Musaf on Shabbos. But that is a different level. That's already le'ela, le'ela, le'ela. The average person is not on that level. You have people who eat No matter what, even if it was Yom Kippur, they would, they eat no matter what. Okay, they eat. And then we're going to have, but let's say it's Shabbos, then the people, no, I don't eat. It's not my minog, I don't eat. My father didn't do it, I'm not going to do it. I'm scared. It's the Yom Hadin, Shofar, Ol Elokim Bisruah. It's the Yom Hadin, I'm not going to eat. But when it's Shabbos, you can eat. You can eat, you're not blowing Shofar. You can eat. Then there are people that are really out of my league. Okay, I can't. These are people that are really, I'm talking for real. They don't want to even eat on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah because of the intensity of what it even means to mention Zichroi Neturah. Now, Mark, he says something very interesting about Kiddush. Let's discuss now the second day Rosh Hashanah. Now, first of all, this year, the second day Rosh Hashanah is a very big dilemma. Is it pshat this year, because it's Shabbos, there's really min ha-Torah, no blowing shofar? And the second day Rosh Hashanah is just like a runner-up, a concession prize. It's the second day, Rosh Hashanah. The second day of Elul, of Tishrei, it doesn't say in the Torah, on Beis Tishrei, you're supposed to blow shofar. This year, there is no mitzvahs asei de'oiraisa to blow shofar. Nothing. You don't blow on Shabbos, there's no shofar. Second day, Beis Tishrei, Midrabanan, Sveika D'Yoyma, it's not a real blowing. It's a blowing that's Midrabanan. Is that our attitude? Well, many Poskim say, yeah. The second day, Rosh Hashanah, it's purely, it's not the Aleph Tishrei, it's Beis Tishrei, it's Sveika D'Yoyma. We're aware, there's something called Yoyma Arichta, we're very much aware of that. But Yoyim Arichta is not a halachic principle. It's an agadic. It is halach. It has a very few nafkaminas la halacha, hachana, dinav muksa. But generally, it's sveika de Yoyim, and the second day Rosh Hashanah is only midrabanan, and therefore it's not the same severity of tkiyah shofar on day two. Other poskim seem to say, what I glean is, not so fast. It's true, you can't deny the fact that it's Beis Tishrei, but it's on a different level. I don't know how to define it. I don't know how to define it. You can't say it's Divrei Kabbalah. I don't really know how to define it, but the way they discuss it, it's even though ordinarily when it comes to a din derabanan we're lenient, when you have a doubt, the attitude is to be lenient, not with regard to the blowing of the shofar on the second day Rosh Hashanah, especially in a year when it falls out on Shabbos, when this is your only shot. It's your only chance to blow shofar. There's a very different attitude towards the blowing of the shofar on the second day, which almost equates it with a din d'oraisa. I'm just saying words which is very abstract, which need a lot more definition, but I'm not making this up. I'm not making this up that I can guarantee you. There's a very big disagreement in the Poskim as to the approach, the attitude of the second day of shofar this year. Now, you mentioned something very important about making Kiddush. Let's, the second day. So many, and it all depends really where you daven. Okay, where you daven, whatever, do you make Kiddush? Let's say you're in a shul where they're going to have a break. Some shuls this year, I mean, every to each his own. Everyone has different ideas and approaches to deal with the situation. Many shuls will feel that the break is a great opportunity of safety. That way you can break up the davening. You can clean the shul in the middle. You can ventilate the shul. You can give ordinarily a shul that doesn't have a break. Maybe this year would be a good idea. We should have a break. We'll daven shacharis, kriyas haTorah, and tell everyone to go home for 45 minutes. So we'll ventilate the shul. We'll put on the air conditioners full blast. We'll bring in a cleaning crew. And everyone won't be together so long. That way, maybe it's healthier, maybe it's not. Go talk to your doctor. What does the doctor say? The doctor says, get it over with as fast as possible. Is that a better idea? Or is it a better idea that you should break up the time? Don't sit together for 4 hours, 2 hours, 2 hours with a break of 45 minutes in the middle, maybe healthier. I don't know. Everyone will tell you something else. You're not going to get clarity in this. Everyone will have a different opinion. Every situation is different. How are they, some people during the breaks, they socialize. The socialization that takes place during the break can be a killer, can be a lot worse than the davening itself. I don't know. Everyone knows that nothing is simple. But during the break, when let's say you're having a break, do you need to make Kiddush? So the rule is you only need to make Kiddush when Shacharis is over. Is Shacharis over? So the truth is, blowing the shofar part of Shacharis, or is blowing the shofar not part of Shacharis? It used to be clear as day that they used to blow shofar during Shacharis. That's how it used to be in the time of the Gemara. What happened? Gzeres Hashmad. The government, the Goyim, the Romans, did not want the Jews to observe the mitzvah of shofar. They sent in officers, they sent in inspectors to see what's going on. And the inspectors prevented Klal Yisrael from blowing shofar during Shacharis. The inspectors don't have patience to sit for a long davening. And after Shacharis was over, they left. And they never came back. When the cat's away, the mice will play. And that's when Klal Yisrael took out the shofar after the inspectors left. And they blew the tekiyas right before Musaf, and then incorporated the Nusachat Tefillah into Musaf. So this blowing of the shofar that we do today during Musaf evolved out of a Gezeras HaShmad. Shmad means to destroy us. The Goyim wanted to destroy us, to prevent us from blowing shofar. They came very close. And the minig we have today to blow shofar during Musaf is not correct. It's not the way it was done originally, and it was not the way it was meant to be. It developed out of Gezeres HaShmad, because the blowing of the shofar belongs in the tefillah of Shacharis. Thus, you will find Paiskin that will say the following chidush. Since the blowing of the shofar belongs during Shacharis, Shacharis is not over until you blow shofar. If Shacharis is not over until you blow shofar, you don't need to make Kiddush. You only need to make Kiddush after Shacharis is over. You're not allowed to eat until you finish saying the Shmona Esrei. Well, guess what? I said the Shmona Esrei. Not only that, I even leaned. So I'm done. I said the Shemona Esrei and I leaned. So I'm allowed to eat now. Now, what are you going to tell me? But I need to make Kiddush. No, I don't. The obligation to make Kiddush first begins after you finish Shachris. Blowing the shofar has a din, the Lomdash din, has a din of Shachris. So until I finish blowing the shofar, Shachris truly has not come to an end. My obligation to recite Kiddush has not yet begun. So there's a very strong argument to be made that if you daven in a shul where they daven Shachris and they lane, and then before they blow shofar, they make an announcement, we're now going to take a break for whatever it is. You can go home, do whatever you want. And you go home, and you want to eat something, you could eat without making Kiddush. Because Kiddush first begins when you finish Shachris, and the blowing of the shofar is an extension of the Shachris. And because on Rosh Hashanah you have to blow shofar, Shachris does not end until you finish blowing that shofar. So the obligation to make Kiddush has not yet begun. So you don't need to make Kiddush, and you're allowed to eat because you're already davened already. Now this is not going to work on the first day of Rosh Hashanah this year, because on the first day of Rosh Hashanah this year, there is no blowing of the shofar. So Shachris is over. If it's over and you have a break, you must make Kiddush before you eat, before Musaf. But on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, where you did not get to blow shofar, and you're obligated to blow shofar, and shofar is part of Shachris, who says you have to make Kiddush? This is a very strong argument that has been made by many poskim. No need to make Kiddush, and it could very well be there are people that talk about don't make Kiddush. That's not the common minhag. The common minhag throughout the entire world, probably 95%, is we don't look at the blowing of the shofar as a portion of Shachris to the degree that the obligation to recite Kiddush has not yet begun. And therefore, if you want to eat after you finish the Shemona Esrei and the laning, you must make Kiddush. You're not allowed to eat without making Kiddush. And that Kiddush is a real Kiddush. So if you make that Kiddush and you have a mezonos, or even a revius of Yayin, when you finished Musaf later on, you don't need to make Kiddush again. I already made Kiddush. I'm done. I made a real Kiddush. Shachris was over. I made a real Kiddush and I'm done. See, some people are machmir. They do make Kiddush twice. Because it bothers them, this dilemma. Maybe there's no obligation yet to make Kiddush. So if you're making Kiddush before blowing of the shofar, you're not making Kiddush. What are you doing? You're not doing anything. You're not making Bruch Levatola. All you're doing is you're making a Bar Priya Gofen. You say a Pasuk, Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kes leim chageinu, ki choyk li sholuhu mishpul luke Yaakov, savri b'ranon rabban rasai, Bruch HaTashem k'nei mechulam Bar Priya Gofen. Very nice, you made a Bar Priya Gofen. That's not called Kiddush. You have no obligation. So some people, no one does this. No one really does, but you'll always find these type of people look hard enough. They'll make Kiddush twice. They'll make Kiddush before Musaf, and they'll make Kiddush after Musaf. But those type of people that make, they're so machmet, they make Kiddush twice, are the type of people that are not going to anyway make Kiddush before Musaf. You understand? It's the same type of mind. Those type of people who are going to make Kiddush twice wouldn't eat before the blowing of the shofar anyway. So it's, the whole thing becomes moot. But that's not the custom. The custom is to make Kiddush, those who make Kiddush, and that's it, you're done. You do not make Kiddush a second time. Now, I'll tell you practically what I do. I started doing this because I'm a lot of partner of Moshe, and that is, I have a problem. This is my problem. I'll tell you my problem, even who could care less about me. But just for entertainment purposes, just to illustrate the halacha is I daven all the years, not every year, most of the years I've davened in Chaim Berlin, Yeshiva Chaim Berlin. And they have a very long, very long davening. And they have a break. I don't know what they're doing. They have no idea what they're doing this year. This year, there's a big billboard what they're doing. I don't know. But they used to have a very long break. People will go home. They have young people in Koil, go home to their wives, taking their shayfa, whatever. And it's just a lot of people, hard getting out. But I know I have to eat. If I don't eat, I'm not going to make it. I can't sit so long. I can't sit till 3 o'clock, 3 or 4 o'clock without eating. I can't have a tinus. I'm not from the machmirim. I'm from the most lenient. I got to eat. But I got a problem. If I eat a piece of cake, you know what that means? At 11:30, 12 o'clock, You know what that means? Piece of cake? Sugar? Sugar? It means nosedive. Nosedive right into a heavy-duty tardema. Vayapel Hashem lukim al adam tardema vayishan. I'm out. Like a light. That's it. So what do? I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place. If I don't eat, I have no koyach. If I do eat, I'll fall right asleep. So Rav Moshe says, in Rebbe Kiddush, that you can listen to somebody make Kiddush and have a cup of coffee and have no mezoinos. The only one who has to have, if you want to be yoytze, if you make Kiddush and you want to be yoytze Kiddush, the one who makes the Kiddush has to eat mezoinos. So it should be Kiddush b'makom su'uda. But you're allowed, he holds l'chatchila, to listen to someone make Kiddush. So you heard Kiddush. And you can drink. You can have a cup of soda, a cup of orange juice, a cup of coffee. Ah, coffee, no sugar. Black coffee. Coffee. And that's it. No mezoinos. You're allowed, you heard Kiddush. Someone made Kiddush. You'd say, the Kiddush is matter you to eat. Was I yoytze Kiddush b'mokim su'uda? No! So after davening is over, I have to make Kiddush and have bread or mezoinos. But the Kiddush that you hear is matter you to have a cup of coffee. You're not allowed to drink a cup of coffee unless you have Kiddush. So someone makes Kiddush, you listen to the Kiddush, and you drink a cup of coffee, black coffee. And that's it. Don't eat the mezoinos because you'll fall asleep. And then when the davening is over, then you have to make, you didn't hear Kiddush yet. You yoytze the Kiddush. You yoytze Kiddush enough that you can eat, but that you not yoytze Kiddush in Mokum Suda. You make Kiddush again, and you eat mezoinos or hamoytze, and now you yoytze Kiddush in Mokum Suda. So I found that this works great for me. It's a great solution. Is someone else makes the Kiddush. They make Kiddush.
Is water the same as black coffee?
Yes. You're not allowed. Meshulchan Aruch says beferush afilu mayim. One, you're allowed to drink like a camel before davening begins. Before davening begins, you can drink as much as you want. Water. Mayim, you're not allowed to eat. Achila is aser. Shesia is mutter. What's called drinking? The only thing you really me'ikar hadin allowed to drink is water. Flavored water is problematic. Sugar, coffee, we're very lenient today. Today people will have no problem drinking coffee with sugar and milk and whatever you want before davening. That's called, today in the 21st century, that's called the shesia. That's a new definition. The new definition of shesia in the 21st century is to be very makel. Even the Mishnah says that it's aser. Everyone drinks coffee with milk and sugar before the davening. But once you finish shachris, it says beferish Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to be toyim midi afilu mayim, even water after shachris is over. So you're not allowed to drink water unless you hear kiddush. Someone else can make the kiddush, and they will. Make Kiddush, and they will have a Su'uda b'mkoyim Kiddush, or they will have a Mezoinos, or they will have a double Revius, and you will listen. That Kiddush will allow you to drink water, to drink juice, to drink, to do anything you want. And even what you're drinking does not halachically constitute Su'uda. It's okay. It's permitted, l'chatchila, according to Rav Moshe. And then you have to later have another Kiddush. I actually wanted to put this in writing somewhere, and someone told me I shouldn't put this in writing because the minig is not like Rav Moshe. I said, what are you talking about? Who says the minig of Moshe? I had a big fight with him. I had this ala michi card, and I wrote this whole thing. To do this l'chatchila. Rav Moshe says, mamash l'chatchila. He writes in three places in Igros Moshe. Igros Moshe, and in Rav Simcha Bunim Kohen Sefer Hilcha Shabbos, he writes the nochamol. He writes that the answer of Moshe, and Moshe told him, beferish, it's in the footnotes here. He told him, you can do it l'chatchila. So I wrote this in English on a card about all the rules of Kiddush. And this guy says to me, how could you write this? How could you write this? This is not the Minhag Yisrael. No one does this. Rav Moshe is a tremendous chiddush. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. Whatever. At the end, I won. But like, I don't know. He tells me there's not the Minhag Yisrael to do this. I don't know. It's my Minhag. At least now. And, okay, so this was, we're out of time. But this so far is a little hagdama. Eating, it doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch very quickly. Eating, it doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch anywhere that you're not allowed to eat. Eating halachically is no different. Shofar is taking a little of an eshuk. It's mutter. Al pi Kabbalah, if you want to be very serious, there's a lot of grounds not to do so. This year is Shabbos you can be mekel. Kiddush is shofar shayach. The shachris is shofar shayach. Not shaykh, that'll be an afgamina. And kiddush, when it comes to making kiddush, a very good solution not to eat too much. That will really, if you eat too much, I don't have to tell you, if you eat too much, it's mabalbal your mind. Okay? It's just take up coffee. Someone has to make kiddush and eat, and you have a cup of coffee. That's enough for most people to get through a very good davening without falling asleep. All right, Yirtzeh Hashem, we will continue tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Say all the best. Stay safe. Be very careful out there. There's a lot of scary stories going around.
Amen. Shkoyach. Have a good day.
We want to wish Mark a safe voyage.
Tomorrow.
Okay, very good. Okay.
And a good convention, and thank
good
you.
Year. Okay, be well.
Everyone should have a good year.
May, are you there? Mayor, are you there? Baruch, what's new? You're on mute.
I have many Yisrael Torah in front of me. So he brings down rayas from different Svarim that, like you say, to hear Kiddush from somebody else. Let's bring our Moshe. It's more Kiddush is safer. If you have a chance to look it up today. Also, the story of Moshe, Rabbi Baruch told me this story. Told the story maybe 20, 30 years ago. So, I mean, the story is about 50 years old. He was dining together with Moshe on Rosh Hashanah. At the end of Musaf, Rabbi Moshe turned to him and he said, I just completed 3 days of fasting.
Right, you told this to me. Unbelievable.
Moshe didn't drink anything before David.
Unbelievable. Have a wonderful day, Rav Aaron. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Hey, Rabbi Levine.
Maybe Hashi Barton, though. Because a lot of Chassidish don't make Kiddush. They do drink coffee. At the break, they do drink coffee.
Right, because they must hold that the shofar is shayach, the shofar shach the shachris. Shachris doesn't end until you blow shofar. Even Ashrei, forget about the shofar. I didn't see anyone say this, but there's a whole big dilemma. Ashrei, is the Ashrei shayach to Shachris, or is the Ashrei beginning of Musaf? All of the Sidurim print Ashrei before Musaf as part of Shachris. So what exactly is Ashrei? See, you find like some of the modern rabbanim, traditionally, when the rabbi gives a drasha, after Ashrei, before Kaddish. And then the rabbi says a drasha, and then Yiskadal, the Yiskadash, Mei Rabbah. So there are rabbanim, I'm not going to mention names, that feel that you're not allowed to do that, because the Kaddish of Yiskadal, the Yiskadash, is a Kaddish on the Ashrei. So it's a Hefsek. It's not right. So what have they done, these Rabbanim? They have moved the Drasha before Ashrei. It's not so uncommon. There are a lot of Rabbanim who say the Drasha before, after laning. They put away the Sefer Torah. They take the Ashrei out of davening. In other words, they play games. They normally you say Afarachamim and then you say Ashrei. Correct? They don't do that. They say Av HaRachamim, and then they say Yehalelu. And they put back the Sefer Torah. Eitz Chaim, they say Eitz Chaim, Hashiveinu, they close the Aron, and then the rabbi says his drasha. After he says the drasha, Ashrei, and Chatzi Kaddish. Now, what's the problem doing this? Who gave you the right? Who gave you the right to take Ashrei, to slice it out of the Siddur, and put it after Uvenuchu Yoimar? If in the Siddur, Ashrei comes before Yehalelu, what right do you have to slice the Ashrei out of the Nusach HaTfilah and put it somewhere else? You don't have a right to go Mishana the Seder HaTfilah. So no, we do. We do have a right, because what's the alternative? I'm going to speak now. There's going to be a hefsek between the Ashrei and the Chatzi Kaddish. And l'chora they're right. The Chatzi Kaddish has to go on the Ashrei. Has to go on the Ashrei. You know, and that's why it's slichus, you have to say you have Ashrei, you have the Chatzi Kaddish. There has to be psukim. You can't just say a Chatzi Kaddish in a vacuum. So it's a very big dilemma. But they're forgetting there's another factor, there's another element in this conversation, which no one talks about, and is, excuse me, is the Ashrei a chelik of Shachris, or is the Ashrei a chelik of Musaf? And by taking the Ashrei out of Yehalelu, you're not just being Mishana the Seder. You're davening Musaf before you're davening Shachris. Because if once you put away the Sefer Torah, that's the end of Shachris. Now you're going back to say Ashrei. Oh, excuse me, Musaf is over. We put away the Sefer Torah. Well, you're going back in time to go daven Shachris now? Whoever told you that Ashrei is part of Musaf? And Yehalelu is also part of Musaf? No. Shachris ends when you put away the Sefer Torah. And when you put away the Sefer Torah, that's Shachris, and Ashrei is part of that Shachris. The Kaddish wasn't set on the Ashrei, the Kaddish was set on Uvenuchu Yoimar. So you know what? The Kaddish will be set on your drasha. When the rabbi makes a drasha, in the drasha he says words of Torah, he says psukim, he says ideas, so Yiskadal, the Yiskadash, Mei Rabbah, it goes on the drasha. The words of Torah that he said in the drasha, it's no different than saying the Uvenuchu Yoimar, Hashiveinu, the Chazan, Hashiveinu, he sings Hashiveinu, so you say the Kaddish, so on your drasha, we'll say the Kaddish also on your drasha. So the tables have been turned on the Rabbanim, who have been very bold to slice Ashrei from the Siddur and say their drasha, and then say Ashrei, and then say Chatzi Kaddish. What are you doing? You have no right to do that. Did you know that the Ashrei is the chelik of the Shachris? That they didn't know. And when they hear that part of the equation, they have pause. Uh-oh, maybe I really blew it. Maybe there's something I didn't know. I should not have gone that far. Now, I told the Rav this week something, very Talmud Chacham, and I saw it really shook him up. He was mamish making litzonis of why there are two lions on top of on the old shuls. You know the old lions, all the old shuls?
Right.
So he was talking and he was, you know, mavatel, the guy, you know, being mavatel. You're not allowed to, it's a big shaila, a lion is a tselem. I said, Gedolei Yisrael had lions in their shul. The biggest Gedolei Yisrael had lions in their shul. What are you so swift to be mevatel it? You know everything? You're so convinced that you know Kol HaTorah Kula that you can just, you're smarter than all, than probably for hundreds of years. I don't know, can't tell you. So I told him, I'll tell you a vart that I once heard. Why there are lions on top of the Aron Kodesh. Who built the Mishkan? Who built the Mishkan? Bezalel and Achisamach. From which Shevet did Bezalel come from? Bezalel ben Chur. Lamate Yehuda. I've got the whole pasuk. Lamate Yehuda. What is Yehuda? Gor Aryeh Yehuda in the Birchos Yaakov. Achisamach is Lamate Don. In Moshe's brachas, Don Gor, and who's called the lion? Shevet Don. Gor, Lavi. It says the befeirish. It's exactly the same words. Gor, Uladon Amar Don Gor Aryeh Yizanek Min Haboshon. Okay, in the Birchas Moshe, it's Uladon Amar. Don Gor Aryeh. In Birchas Yaakov, it says Gor Aryeh Yehuda. Okay, same exact. These two Shvatim, they're compared to a lion. The Mishkan was built by partners, Bezalel and Achisamach. And Rashi says from the greatest of the Shvatim to the lowest of the Shvatim, the Bnei Shvachis. Why? Everyone has a chelik in the Mishkan. When you come to shul, you see the Aron HaKodesh, the Torah. This reminds you of who built the first Beis HaMikdash. When you come to Yom Mikdash Me'at, it reminds you of the first Mikdash, Mishkan. Who built the first one? Bezalel and Achisamach. Why? From the Gadol Shebeshvatim to the Pachusim Shebeshvatim. Everyone has a chelek in Torah. Everyone. No matter where you stand. When you walk into shul, everyone has a chelek in this shul. Everyone has a chelek to daven before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why you have two lions, to remind you of Yehuda and Achisamach. So I said this to him, and I saw like, he was like almost shocked. And like, I saw how it hit him. You know, maybe there's something I don't know. If the Gedolei Yisrael had for generations on top of the Aron, two lions, there's a reason for it. Just because today it's not popular, so what? So what? It's because you don't know the reason, not because they didn't know the reason.
My Rebbe once joked, you know, he said about Magen David, that there's a time on the Magen David, so he said, do away with the Raziel HaMalach. You know, yeah. Also, Rav Henkin and the Chassam Sofer are very, very strong. It's better to make Kiddush after the Kiyas HaMiyushal than to make it before.
To make Kiddush after, right? Because right, you're getting it, you're getting in the Daraisa. You're getting in the Daraisa, yeah. Yeah? Yeah?
And there's the old, like, John, it wasn't John, they said the story that after Rav Aaron was Nifta, so they used to speak to Rav Henkin, Rav Aaron used to speak to Rav Henkin, so the first year, Rav Henkin called Rav Shner to wish him a good yontif, and he let him have it. He screamed at him, how can you have Kiddush, a break, this and that. So from then on, Rav Shner used to try to call him first and get off the phone as quick as possible, not to get sacked from him.
It's right. That's a solution. You do it. Yeah, he talks about that. They mentioned that idea about having after the kiss to Miyoshev. Yeah, but whatever, we don't do that. There's no solution. Yes. There's no solution, especially in the yeshivas.
I got the schedule from the Israel there in UK.
Yeah.
So the minion I'm davening in, it's 6:55 in the morning, okay, and it's over at 9:15.
So that's 7 to 8 to 9, 2 hours and 15 minutes.
20 minutes.
You start with Nishmas.
Yeah.
You start with Nishmas, and you're gonna be finished in 2 hours and 15 minutes. All right. It's doable. I still don't know where I'm.
That's if you don't sing. I mean, I can't see how if you don't sing anything.
I went to Shabbos, the Young Israel. They started shaking out at 9:15.
Yeah.
And they sang. They sang Kel Adam. They sang I was surprised. They sang by Ibn Sola, to Yisrael, you know, Mizmor David.
The rabbi here started saying his drush again.
He said 10:30.
Wow, that's fast.
Because the Balkar was unbelievable. Very, very, very clear and very quick. Sadowski, one of Sadowski's children. I was surprised they sang everything.
Look, the rabbi here in Midwood, he started saying his drasha now again.
Yeah.
He speaks now during davening.
You asked about Hasidim, what they do. Usually, in Chabad, eats before davening.
Not Chabad, we're talking about above of Rosh Hashanah. What they
above Rosh Hashanah, they have a break, and people don't make it.
They make Kiddush or just drink coffee?
That I don't know, but I know I make it.
They all make Kiddush today.
I went to Amec, we also make
they
Kiddush.
They all make Kiddush. Everyone makes Kiddush. They all make Kiddush.
Abba finishes like 5:30.
They all make Kiddush.
I would imagine that they make Kiddush and eat something.
The Minhag HaOlam is, they don't even ask, they all make Kiddush.
I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do. Because as a kid, I used to eat before davening. Then I went to Tells, there was no food. So I never ate now before davening. This year, I'm davening in the Ad Dominion, and they're not going to have a break. They're going to start 9. They figure 11-ish. So I might have a coffee. Maybe I'll eat cake.
All right.
Because if I eat, I have to run.
Right. You do what you got to do. You do what you got to do. Whatever. If you have to, you have to eat. It's not the end of the world to eat. You're not eating for your own hand. You're eating. You have koyach. There are a lot of heterim to eat before davening today. Chabad does it all the time.
What's the old word? Do they eat to daven or do they daven to eat?
There are a lot of heterim to eat before davening.
So they say that it all started with the I call him the Friedrich Rebbe, the Rebbe Nachum Mendel, when he became